1 Chronicles chapter 4. And if you're able to stand in reading of God's Word, we'll ask you to do that. If not, it certainly does not offend us in any way. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and let's read again verses 9 and 10. And Jabez was more honorable than all his brethren. We don't know much about Jabez other than what we find here. In fact, this is the only time in Scripture that Jabez is mentioned in the Bible. But what the Bible does tell us is that he was more honorable than all his brethren. What a testimony to have. And his mother called him Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And notice this last part, "And God granted him that which he requested." I'm going to preach for a few moments, church, on a prayer that God approved. A prayer that God approves. The last part of that scripture says, "And God granted him that which he requested." Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and grace. Lord, thank you for what you've already done today. Thank you for the songs, the specials. Lord, just the time of fellowship that we've already had. Lord, the time of Sunday school. And Lord, we ask you to continue to be with us. Lord, we ask for your wisdom. We need your help. Lord, I just pray that you remove distractions out of the way. God, I know that we have some fellowship and food and other things planned later on. But Lord, for the next few moments, help us to just focus on your word and the message at hand. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We see a couple of things here. We'll probably touch on them more a little bit in verse number 9, where Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And then it also says a little bit about his name. It says, "Because I bear him with sorrow." So two things that we know before we even start to look at the prayer that Jabez had was that he was more honorable, and he had more character than his brethren, but then also things didn't start out well in his life. She bore him with sorrow, and that's something I want to tell you real quick about the things of God, is that even though your life didn't start off well, it certainly can end well once you get Jesus in your life, amen? So no matter how you came in today, you say, "Pastor, my day has not started off well," right? Hey, but it certainly can, especially concerning what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ or how you allow God to work in your heart today. So what we're looking at today is we're looking at five things about this prayer. This was a special prayer that God approved, and God, the Bible says, granted that request. And so there's five simple thoughts that we want to give you that I pray will be a help and an understanding how when we pray that God will approve those prayers. Amen. Now, how many here today would say, "Pastor, I've had prayers in my life that I really wanted God to answer," right? I would say all of us. Sure, right? If we pray, why would we want a prayer that we didn't want God to answer? Now, let me go ahead and say this. Sometimes God's answer is not actually granting what it is we thought that we wanted. And that's God's grace on our lives, in that I have seen God not answer prayers and seeing God work in a great way by not answering that or showing me or changing my heart on the circumstance. Because sometimes when we pray, we're always asking God to change our circumstance, but not necessarily God to change our heart or our spirit on the matter. But what we're looking at here is, of course, when we pray, we want to be heard. When we pray, we want God to answer prayer. And our goal should be not just answer our prayer how we want it, but truly answer it according to the will of God in our lives or for our lives or even concerning that circumstance. The first thing that we noticed, church, about Jabez's prayer was the acknowledgement of who God is. The acknowledgement of who God is. In verse number 10, "And Jabez called on the God of Israel," right? Well, it's very clear at who he called on. It's clear on who he was praying to. Praying to the God of Israel, acknowledging who God is. Now, there's a couple of things that I want to say regarding prayer. I'm afraid that sometimes we may go through the motion of prayer because we know that we should. I think sometimes we even go through the tradition of prayer, in that we'll say to people, "Would you pray with me about this?" But I wonder, church, how many times have you just made the request for other people to pray, but not actually acknowledged God in your own life and not actually taking the time to pray in your personal life. If we go through the effort to share a prayer request, then I hope that we have already bathed in prayer ourselves. Amen. But he's acknowledging who God is. Now let me say something else about that. It is very important when you acknowledge who God is that you know who the Lord is and that you have a personal relationship with the Lord. Let me draw your attention to Mark chapter 8 and verse 27. In Mark chapter 8 and verse 27, Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, whom do men say that I am? Here's a question that Jesus is asking his disciples. Now, before I read any further, if I was to walk around the room and say, who do you say that Jesus is? What would be your answer, friend? Because your answer at that moment really helps us to determine what your relationship is with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're certainly not going to have prayer that God answers if we can't even acknowledge who God is. But he asked his disciples, whom do men say that I am? And they answered and said, John the Baptist. And some say Elias. And others say one of the prophets. And that's fine. So there's really a two-part question here. What are people saying? And then what do you say? Right? And that's the second part comes in. And he saith unto them, but whom do ye say that I am? And Peter saith unto him, thou art, notice this, the Christ. Thou art the Christ. So the first part of that question was really, who are people saying that I am? Some say John the Baptist. Some say Isaiah. Some say one of the other prophets. That's good and that's fine. But who do you say that I am? See, all the times people want to proclaim a knowledge of God. They want to proclaim an acquaintance of God. But really, God has become nothing more than somebody that they know about. There's not a personal relationship with Him. The question that Jesus really wanted to know is that really, at the end of the day, it doesn't make no difference who people say that I am. I want to know what you say that I am. And that's a question that should be answered by each and every person here today. I could stand here and tell you who Jesus is to me. I could tell you what he means to me, but I'm concerned about what he means to you, dear friend. Who do you say that Jesus is? We can't have prayer that's going to be answered by God if we can't even acknowledge who he is and we don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. Peter said, thou art the Christ, proclaiming him as Lord and Savior of his life. Friend, you can be here today and know who God is and know about God. You could have grown up in church and Sunday school and still not have a personal relationship and a personal knowledge of Jesus Christ in your life. So the first thing that's important for us to know today, and this is the most important thing that you ought to get today, friend. Hey, I'm looking forward to everything else going on today, but the biggest thing that I'm concerned about today is what you say that Jesus is for you. I hope that you would say this morning that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of my life. Amen. I hope that you would say that Jesus is the one who redeemed my soul and saved me from the pits of hell today. I hope that you would say that he's the one who changed my life forever. I hope you say that Jesus is the reason why I sing. Jesus is the reason why I worship. Jesus is the reason why I witness. I hope that that's what you would say about Jesus. I hope it's something that you believe in. Hey, friend, I hope that you really got something when you got Jesus. You know what I find fascinating is that people, they have enough faith in Christ to take them to heaven, but not enough faith to take them to church. Hey, listen, you ought to have part of your relationship with the Lord is being faithful to the house of God. Amen. Can I get a little bit of help right there? Amen. Thank you, church. I appreciate your support. We know that that's a biblical statement. Say, well, Pastor, I don't have to come to church to worship God. Well, like I've said before, I don't have to come home to my wife every night to be married, but it's probably a good idea. How many would agree to that? Amen. All right. Don't get too quiet on me today. Amen. It's church time. Do you agree, church, that we should have an acknowledgement and also be able to proclaim who Jesus is to us? Jabez said that he was praying to the God of Israel. And when we make it more personal, friend, I hope that you'll say, I'm praying to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the first thing that we see is the acknowledgement of who God is. We should acknowledge who God is. We should have already that personal relationship with Him. Number two today, I want you to notice in this text here, he first off in verse number 10, going back to 1 Chronicles 10, and Jabez called on the God of Israel. The second part saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. So the second thing is that he was requesting for God's blessing, not necessarily his personal prosperity. You know what happens sometimes when we pray? You know what has become somewhat of what our belief of God's blessing on our life is? Oh, God, I want you to bless me. And most of the time we mean prosperity. Most of the time we mean God bless me with a good job. God bless me with good finances. Lord bless me with a good bank account. Lord bless me with a nice home and bless me with a nice car. And I'm not saying that God doesn't bless in that way. I'm just trying to tell you is that is not the extent of God's blessing on our life. I know people all the time. There's people in this community that have all the money. I mean, that I talk to people every day. And they say, well, I'd like to get a quote for this and a quote for that and also my four other houses. Right? They got plenty of money. That doesn't mean they're blessed. Are you with me? Now, I have been blessed. God has blessed me with a lot. But I know, hey, the Bible says every good gift cometh from above. I can acknowledge with you today that the only thing that I have in my life, the only blessings that I have, has come from the Lord. But you see, oftentimes we ask for God's blessing, and this is essentially what he's saying. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. But how are you asking for God's blessing? What is it that you actually desire? So when we're requesting God's blessing, we're not necessarily talking about our prosperity. We should want God's blessings by God's means. God's blessings by God's methods. And what do you mean by that, preacher? Well, again, somebody can work for themselves, they can own a business, they can make a good job and a career, and I'm not even saying there's anything wrong with that. But when you have the actual blessing of God, that means that you have done something God's way, or that God approves to have the blessing of God. Are you with me? So if we're asking for God's blessing, that means we have to do it God's way. Are you still with me today? Amen. If we're asking for God's blessing, that means that we have to do it God's way. That means that we need to live a life in such a manner that God is approved by the manner that we live. So let me ask a personal question. Could you say, preacher, the way that I'm living my life right now, I know that God approves by the way that I'm living right now. Or would you say, you know, Pastor, if I was to be completely honest with you, there are things in my life that I know God would not approve. God would not bless these things in my life. So how can we ask for God's blessing if we're not living God's way? So when Jabez, I believe that he was living God's way. I mean, the Bible says that he was more honorable than all his brethren. He was doing something right. He was living some kind of godly life. For the Bible to list him, we don't know much. This is all we know, but we know that he was an honorable man. You see, part of the problem with the way that we live our life, sometimes we justify, say, well, I'm doing good. I'm living this way. I've never robbed a bank. I keep the Ten Commandments. I provide for my family. I take care of my children. I fulfill my responsibilities. But friend, we can do those things and they seem right. And I'm not saying they're not. But spiritually speaking, godly speaking is what we're concerned about. That doesn't necessarily mean that everything in your life lines up with the will of God. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Did you notice that part? It seemeth right. Well, this seems like what I ought to do. Well, this seems like how... You know, the other problem with that idea of seemeth is that we commonly look at that as our feelings. Well, I feel like I'm doing right. I feel... Hey, friend, I'm not even saying that you're doing wrong, but there's probably some things omitted in your life that are not right. Should a fellow provide for his family? Of course he should. Should a fellow, you know, live right and do right, be a good citizen of the country, of our country? Of course he should. The Bible tells us we should. Should a fellow follow the laws of the land so long as they don't contradict the Word of God? Absolutely they should. But that doesn't mean that we're living life the way that pleases God. Now, do we want God's blessing on our life or not? Or do we want to just continue to live in our own prosperity? Or do we want to continue to live in a way that, hey, I did that, I accomplished that, I bought those four houses, talking about that customer that I had the other day, right? That doesn't mean that they were blessed of God. Hey, do you remember what happened to the rich young ruler? Right? He said to them, hey, listen, I've got so much, I'm going to have to tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Does anybody remember what God told him, friends? He said, thou fool, tonight thy soul will be required of thee. Then what? Then what? So the first thing that we notice about Jabez's prayer that God approved, that the Bible says God granted his request, was number one, he acknowledged who God is. He obviously had a personal relationship with the Lord. And again, the most important thing that you can get today is if you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we want you to know that you can. You can get it settled. You don't have to leave here today wondering where you're going to go when you die. The second thing that we see is requesting for God's blessing, not our own prosperity. And God's blessing means God's methods. Number three today, what we notice in this prayer, there was a desire for growth. There was a desire for growth. Now notice what he says there. After he said, Lord, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coats. Enlarge my coats. Often we think that it's just talking about land or territory, but I believe he was talking about more than just that. Could it have included that? I think so. But I believe it included more than that. Friends, when we pray, do we want God to truly help us to grow, spiritually speaking? Do we want God to help us to increase our influence? And all I mean by simply influence is our witness, our testimony, right? So, you know, our witness is only as good as our testimony. If the kind of life that we live, here we are profess to be a child of God, proclaim to be a Christian, but if the way that we're living good witness to our co-workers and our neighbors, friend, our witness is not going to be very effective. Do you remember the life of Lot? And when he tried to warn his sons-in-laws about getting out of Sodom before God rained fire and brimstone down on the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? Do you remember that? Do you remember? Hey, they did not listen to him. They did not take his advice concerning the warning that essentially came from God. You know why that is? Because he didn't live a very good witness before them. And sometimes preachers say, well, Pastor, I try to tell them about Jesus. Yeah, but how did you live your life? You're telling them more about Jesus by how you live your life than by the words that you say. Amen. By the way we live. So you see, friend, there ought to be a desire for growth. Say, well, I don't, if you said just a second ago, I don't believe that God is satisfied with the things in my life. Well, then what can we do so that God can be satisfied with our life? Obviously, there's some things that would have to change. There's some areas in our life that would have to grow. Maybe there's some sin in our life that we need to repent of and make right before God. So the desire for growth, with more growth, understand, requires more responsibility. Sometimes people think, well, if I just get into management, everything will be easy. You do understand that when you're in management, it comes with more responsibility, not less. With leadership comes more responsibility. Luke chapter 12 and verse 48. Turn there with me if you like. Luke chapter 12 and verse 48. But he that knew not and did commit the things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. For whomsoever much is given, of him much shall be required. So let me just share a couple of things real quick about that. If you're going to grow, it's going to come with greater responsibility, first of all. But when you think about growth in your life, you might also think maybe some areas in your life that you know that we have sort of lost ground to the devil, if you will. In other words, we've letting the devil take a stronghold in our life. We know there's an area in our life that it's a weakness. We know there's an area in our life that God is not pleased with. God is not satisfied with it. And we've just kind of let the devil have that. There's a reminder in the Bible that says you need to give place to the devil, right? Somebody said you give the devil an inch and he'll become your ruler. Are you with me? So maybe there's an area that we have let the devil take over in our lives, let him take a stronghold, but now we need God to give victory in that area of our life again. Maybe that's an area of growth, making that right with the Lord, or maybe it's asking God to do something more through us. When Jabez was asking God to enlarge his coast, I don't believe, again, he just wanted more land or territory. I believe that he wanted to do more for the kingdom of God. I believe he wanted to do more for the work of God. Hey, friend, honestly, when's the last time we sincerely got on our face before and said, Lord, use me for your glory? You know, we've gotten good at saying, Lord, protect my family and protect my children and help me. That's all great. And you should pray for those kind of things. But, friend, when's the last time we had a sincere desire to be used of God? To make a difference in somebody's life, to get up personal and influence them and be able to reach them with the gospel, to be able to encourage people, help them to increase their faith and grow their faith, that they be stronger Christians. So we see, friend, there was a desire for growth in this prayer. The fourth thing that we see was a desire for God's leading in every part of his life. And the next part of that prayer, and that thou wouldest keep me, or I'm sorry, let me back up, and that thine hand might be with me. That he wanted the hand of God upon his life, friend. Jesus was more, as we mentioned, he was more than an acquaintance. He was more than somebody that he knows about. He was Lord of his life. A lot of people make a decision about Jesus Christ. Not as many make a commitment to Jesus Christ. And you know what God wants today? God wants Christians who, when they pray and how they live, to say, Lord, I want you in every part of my life. Lord, I want you to be directly involved in everything that I do. Well, I don't necessarily want that. Then, friend, something's not right in our life. Balance somewhere if we don't want the hand of God in everything that we do. God, Jabez wanted the hand of God. He didn't just want the blessing of God. He didn't just want God to expand his coast and to grow him and to grow what he had. He literally wanted the hand of God in everything that he did. Now, can you imagine what kind of people that we would be if we truly wanted and invited God? It's like sometimes we say, Lord, you know, I'll give you this. I'll go to the house of God, or I'll help in the food bank and I'll do this. But I don't really want you to control my life. I don't really want your hand in my life. I don't really want you to oversee my life. That's my life to live. No, friend, it's your life to give back to the Lord. Amen. He gave everything for you. Why don't you live for me? Him. He died for you, friend. Live for him. Everything that we have, we're not of our own. You start to study the Word of God, hey, you'll see that our lives are not for ourselves, friend. It's to live our lives for the Lord. And there's a lot of people, yeah, oh, they want to proclaim Jesus when it comes to going to heaven, but they don't actually want his hand in their life. Oh, Lord, keep, you know, just protect me and take me to heaven and all that. Make me feel warm and fuzzy, but don't actually control my life. Now, do you really think that pleases the Lord? You know, the Bible tells us, church, that we have been bought with the price. Now, I want to ask you a question because I already know the answer. If you go down to Cracker Barrel and you order a 6-piece chicken strip, do you know what the first thing that I do when they set my plate down? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, hang on here, Miss Waitress. Is everything okay, sir? Actually, no, it's not. I am missing a chicken strip. And they'll correct it, right? Do you know why I do that? Because I want what I'm paying for. I'm paying for six chicken strips. I want six chicken strips. I have ordered a 50-piece nugget and counted every nugget out. I stopped doing it because it was stressing me out. If the Bible says we have been bought for with a price, did God get what He paid for? Did God get what He paid for? The Bible says that we've been bought with a price. And sometimes I wonder if we're selling God short by the way that we live our lives and saying, God, I don't want your hand in my life. And we're shortchanging the Lord. Did God get what He paid for? We sure want, when we pay for something, we don't want to be shorted. But yet, the way that we live, we short God all the time. Lord, help us. Say, Pastor, is this what you're supposed to preach on a Western Sunday? I don't know what to do than preach the Word of God, church. I don't know what else to do. Hey, some of you, I may not see you again for a while. Right? I'm just trying to help you today, friend. Did God get what He paid for or not? A desire for God's leading in every part of his life. You see, Psalm 37:23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. You know, there's a couple things when we look at that scripture. First of all, ordered by the Lord. But sometimes the way that we live, it's like we rewrite that verse to say, altered by me. This is the direction that God wants me to go. This is what God wants for my life. But I'm just going to revise your plan just a little bit, Lord. I'm just going to tweak it just a little bit. No. Either you're living a life that has been ordered by the Lord, the steps, the way that you're living, the direction. Your path in life is either in God's will or it's not. You can't kind of be serving God. Either you're serving God or you're not. Either your steps are ordered by the Lord or they're ordered by yourself and the devil. Say, well, how'd the devil get involved in this? Because if they're not of God, you may think they're of you, which the devil wants, because when the devil makes it about you and myself, that's of him. Who was the one that said, I will ascend my throne above the Most High God? In Isaiah chapter 14. Who was the one that was kicked out of heaven because of his selfishness and because of his pride? I'm talking about the devil. So if your steps, if your life is not being ordered by the Lord, and we have altered that plan, you better believe that the devil has been involved in that. So we see, church, we see today, we've talked about the acknowledgement about who God is. We've talked about requesting for God's blessing, not our own prosperity. We've talked about the desire for growth, which comes with more responsibility. We've talked about a desire for God's leading in every part of our life. The last thing we'd like to mention today is a desire to avoid the suffering of sin. I believe that Jabez had enough wisdom in his life that he knew that sin wasn't good in his life. Notice what he said. Oh, that thou wouldest keep me from evil. Why? That it may not grieve me. That it may not grieve me. Let's look at James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. But every man, when he is tempted, watch this, when he is drawn away of his own lust. Are you with me? And enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, bringeth forth what? Sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. See, that's the process of sin. That's how sin is destructive in our life. Sin brings suffering. Hey, listen, you can make a decision and a choice whether you'll continue to live in sin or not. You cannot control the consequences. That's out of your hands, dear friend. You can choose to continue to live a sinful lifestyle, but you can't choose how God's going to punish you with it. And mark it down, friend, if you are a child of God, God will bring those consequences to your life. there will unfortunately be consequences for the sin in your life. I believe that Jabez had a desire, part of his prayer, Lord, keep me from evil. I don't want to suffer in sin. I don't want to grieve because of my sin. I mean, we could study out the Word of God and talk about the losses of people falling into sin. I mean, you think about Moses and the great leader that he was, bringing his people out of bondage, taking them through the Red Sea and all the wonderful things. But because of one sin of striking the rock, God says, you're not going to the promised land. It doesn't seem like it's a lot, but hey, oftentimes it's the sin in life we don't think is a big deal. The Bible talks about dead flies causeth the ointment to stink. Let me ask you a question. If you were to serve or be served a tea or a lemonade or something, and I brought it to you and I said, well, here, there's only one or two dead flies in there. That's not that bad. No? You would say, Pastor, I don't want to drink that. Why? Well, that's all right. Let me just go ahead and scoop them flies out of there for you. How about now? No, because it's already been defiled. That's what sin does. Oh, Pastor, I've just got one or two little sins in my life. How much does it take for you to be defiled? Any sin in our life, friend, no matter how big or small, brings defilement. You see, Jabez had a desire to avoid sin. And that's the kind of thing that pleases God. Because he was conscious of the fact that he could fall into sin. He was conscious of the fact that he could fall and give in to temptation. And his prayer and his desire said, Lord, keep me from that. Keep me from that. Last things that we'll mention, we're about through here. We've given you five thoughts. And again, this leads us to this part. After this prayer, I don't know what the time frame was, but it doesn't seem like there was any delay. And God granted him that which he requested. Do you want God to grant the things that you pray for? What we've seen this morning, church, is a simple recipe on how we pray and live in such a manner that is pleasing and that God will approve. Because I don't know about you, when I pray, I want God to hear my prayer. And I acknowledge that sometimes, Lord, I need you to change my attitude because I have a rotten, stinking attitude sometimes. Hey, listen, like I heard a preacher say, I'm rotten to the core and the core is rotten too. That's how I feel. Amen. Hey, my righteousness, according to the word of God, is as filthy rags. So, well, Pastor, I don't believe I'm that bad of a person. Friend, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Our very best, our righteousness is as filthy rags. Jabez was more honorable. Things didn't start off well, but I think they ended up pretty well for him. And friend, maybe today God has spoken to your heart about something. Something in your life that God has convicted you about. And we're going to have an invitation. In fact, I'll ask my wife if she'll come to the piano. We're going to have an invitation, friend. The purpose of an invitation is to allow God to speak to your heart and to be obedient to what the Lord wants you to do. So if God convicted you of something, friend, hey, you know, Western Sunday, you kind of think of old time. You know what's old time? Old-fashioned altars. Filled with the people of God, or not, even if you're not a child of God yet, but you want to be, this is a place where you come down, lay those burdens at the feet of Jesus. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Let's all stand to our feet, every head bowed, every eye closed. If God spoke to your heart today, friend, why, without hesitation, why don't you come to the altar? Why don't you come to the altar, give it to the Lord? If you're here today, friend, whatever your need is, hey, if you need some help, we'll give you somebody to help. Whatever your need is, with every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around, no talking. Hey, young lady, be quiet. Close your eyes. Nobody looking around. Nobody talking. This is serious. If you're here today, say, Pastor, if I was to die today, I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you pray for me? Pastor, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Friend, there's nothing more than we want to do is take the Bible and we'll get somebody to help you. There's nothing more important that'll be done or said today than you to know that you have Jesus as your personal Savior. Say, Pastor, if I was to die today, I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you pray for me? Just slip up your hand real quick. Say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Anybody? Anybody at all? Nobody's looking. Maybe you'll say, Pastor, God spoke to my heart. God spoke to my heart through something through the message today. God convicted me of something. Would you pray for me? Would you pray for me, Pastor? Thank you, I see that hand. 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 You may put it down. Thank you, I see that hand. You may put it down. Thank you, I see that hand. You may put it down. Anybody else? Pastor, God spoke to my heart. Would you pray for me? Thank you, I see that hand. You may put it down. Thank you all for your sincerity. I really appreciate that. We can't allow God to work if we can't even acknowledge that there's a problem. That maybe there's something not right. Anybody else before we pray? And I'm going to pray for you. Folks are praying at the altar. Lord, we're so thankful for today. God, thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be in your house. Lord, thank you for the message that you've given us. God, I truly have a heart's desire to see everyone here today have a type of prayer life, Lord, that is pleasing, and a life that is pleasing, Lord, that you'll grant it. Lord, the scriptures say we have not because we ask not. And Father, today there was some who lifted their hands and said, the Lord spoke to my heart. Lord, maybe they were convicted about something. God, I don't know what it is. I don't need to know what it is. Lord, you know. Father, I pray that you would work in their life in a way that only you can. Lord, I pray that you would answer that prayer, Lord, whatever that need may be. Lord, maybe you need to reveal something to them. God, whatever that is, we pray that you meet it. Lord, I am truly thankful for each and every one that's here. God, I pray, Lord, even though they lifted their hands for salvation, that if there's one here today not sure that they're going to heaven when they die, I pray, Lord, that you convict them of their need for salvation, that they get settled today. Father, we pray that you bless the rest of the day. Thank you again for your goodness and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and be seated, church, for just a moment. Here's what we'd like to do. Do you have the notepad ready? What we are going to do is everybody who wants to enter in, if you dressed up today, why don't you come on to the front. Somebody maybe take a picture, but we want you to come on up. You dress up, come on up. Come on, Brother Kevin. Come on. Yeah, come on now. Come on now. Come on, Brother Russ. We need y'all up here. Come on, Miss Sarah. I see you back there. Come on up here. Come on up here. We need your picture. Amen. Get all your gear, whatever you need. Now, don't stand behind the pulpit, so we want to see you. I'll stand right here by the pulpit. Amen. Come on down here, Miss Sarah. Right. Man, look at these guys. Some of these are some rough-looking hombres, aren't they? All right. Let me come down here a second. Yeah, come on up here, Miss Sarah. Come on up here, hon. Wow. Wow. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Hey. All right. Try to scooch in a little bit. Yeah, that's good, actually. That's good. I got you guys. All right. What we're going to do now, while we're doing this, while we're taking pictures, church, I want you to take a mental note on who you think is the best dressed today. Okay? Because in a second, I'm going to have them turn around. And we're going to have a good old-fashioned hand showing and see who you think is the best dressed. So take a look at them. They all look good. Well, most of them. I don't know about all of them. Yeah. I'm just kidding. Let's get everybody get pictures. Smile this way, guys. Don't trip me, Miss Teresa. Okay. All right, everybody take a good look. Take a good look. All right. All right. So now I need everybody to turn around for just a second. Turn around for just a second. We're going to do this real quick. All right. All right. If you thought that this young man right here was the best dressed, just hold up your hand for a second. Okay? Hold it up. Hold it up. Okay, so just tally it real quick. Okay. All right, how about this young man? Raise your hand. Okay, got one there. All right. How about this young man? Okay, all right. How about this young man right here? I'm sorry. Did I say old? Okay, so did you get him? All right. How about this rough-looking hombre right here? Okay, we got you getting those? Okay, hold him up, hold him up, hold him up, hold him up. Hold him up. Okay, we good? All right, how about this? Come here, little feller. Come here right here. How about this little feller? Okay. Okay. All right. All right. Get back over where you belong. All right. How about this guy? Okay. We see that? All right. How about this very young man right here? Hold him up. Hold him up. Oh. How about this young lady right here? Okay. Hold him up. Hold him up. Keep him up so she can count. All right. How about this young man right here? Hold him up. You know, when I say hold him up, that's probably a good thing. Are we good? Okay. All right. How about this young lady right here? Hold him up. Okay. Good. How about this young lady? Got him? Okay. This young man. Young man. All right, got him? And then this young lady. Got him? All right. Turn around, hombres and cowgirls. Oh, I'm sorry, Miss Sarah. You're not on the stage. All right, hold on. Turn back around. Miss Sarah, who thinks? Wow. Hold him up. Hold him up. Okay, we good? All right, go ahead and be seated. Give him a big hand. Okay. Oh, okay. All right.